Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome back to the podcast after a short break. And I'm delighted to bring you 10 new episodes of the podcast, which are going to focus on the stories behind what it takes to run a small business that operates online in this modern age. And in this episode you're about to listen to, I've invited back my friend and Supercharger website member, Sarah Latham from Friends and Canines Dog Treats, to come and chat about the year that she's had since she was last on the podcast. She was one of the first guests that came on and had a chat with me back in September, October 2020. And so much has happened for Sarah over the past year, and we can all just learn so much from listening. Like, we spend so much time as small business owners trying to get up and running, right, with our product and service and find something people will actually like. But then, like, what happens when you hit that sweet spot, you find a product or a service that people love? How do you turn that into a business that is a job that happens day to day, you know, that that you have to rock up and focus on, as Sarah did when she made that decision to leave her job and kind of go full time? And then how do you scale it so it makes you the money that makes the whole effort worthwhile? And it's really interesting to hear Sarah's thoughts on scaling a business as a single business owner, a solopreneur, if you like. And you'll also hear just some of the challenges that she's kind of gone through since the last lockdown back in 2020 and the start of 2021. And also her thoughts on whether she's going to scale her business beyond just kind of her kind of running things. So I know you're going to love this episode, and I know you're going to love the series as well. And I'm going to make sure I just pop back right at the end with all of the kind of the links to Sarah's stuff if you want to go and follow her online. But for now, enjoy. Since we last spoke, which would have been, is it? No, it can't be nearly a year ago. Were you on like one of the first episodes?
Must have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, that's far out. So months and months have passed, 8-10 months have passed. And like at the time that we were talking, things had just taken off. You know, you'd had a really good year. And you just started to get into this mindset, like a busy product owner does, where you know you're thinking about where to store stuff, how to get stuff delivered and posted and stored and everything like that. Before we start, do you want to just introduce yourself and let us know about your business, and then we'll find out about what's kind of changed over the past year for you?
So my name's Sarah and I run Friends and Canines Natural Dog Treats, which is an online store for all good things for your dogs.
Thanks, Sarah. And thanks for coming back to chat with us on the podcast. The episode where we spoke about your business, Friends and Canines, was one of the most popular episodes that got downloaded. How do you feel about that?
That's great. yeah, it's really amazing. Yeah, I've had some positive feedback as well. I think, it is nice. And I like hearing other people's stories, you know, real life stories that, you know, you can go and build a business and you can be successful. So I'm glad other people enjoyed the episode and I've enjoyed listening to the others.
So it's really good that you come back, because so much has changed for you in your business since we last spoke. And yeah, I think it would be really good to kind of hear about what's been going on and talk about like the kind of the next level. Because in the podcast and in my community, we often talk about, you know, getting started with an online business and picking the tools and the basics, right? But you're beyond that now. You're like, you don't need basics. Like, you're doing the things and money's coming in, as you kind of revealed in your last episode, you quit your job. Friends and Canines Dog Treats is a full-time venture for you now. So look, what is the one big thing that's different now to when we spoke nearly a year ago?
It's the last year has been absolutely amazing. You know, sales grew and grew. I had to go VAT registered last year, so that was a big change. Just made it all really real. And so, you know, the big change in me was just getting more automated. So getting better systems in place, you know, both online and just product wise, just streamlining the whole business and making it so much easier. So even though, you know, growth is, you know, 10, 11, 12 times more than last time we spoke, the whole process is getting easier. And so, yeah, it's just been amazing that, you know, it is harder work because obviously it's a, you know, I'm a lot busier, but just by looking at doing things differently and streamlining different things, it's really made my life easier.
I mean, so much has happened in the world since we last spoke as well. You know, we went back into possibly one or two more lockdowns in the UK, right? You know, we officially came out of Europe, you know, so Brexit kind of happened and all of that. In terms of the kind of world events and what's been going on domestically, like how did you manage to thrive during the past year in your business when so many others haven't?
Yeah, so there has been problems with some products and some suppliers, but you know, I've just tried my best to get replacement products, you know, alternatives, just try and keep as much going as I can. And I was really lucky that I got a courier on board, which helped with a lot of delivery issues. I know a lot of people struggled getting things delivered, but I got a fabulous courier company local to me. So they do daily collections from me now, which again, streamlined my life. I haven't got to take parcels anywhere. And it was fully tracked for the customers. You know, and I think just giving them that peace of mind that they knew where the parcel was and when it was coming. You know, there was the odd delay on the odd parcel, but overall, the delivery system was really good for me.
Okay, so have you also found that there was a benefit to the past year in terms of the kind of dog ownership boom that's happened in the UK as well? Because you know, if people are at home, they've got this new puppy or dog, then, you know, the first thing they're going to think of is treats, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody with puppies has been fabulous. I do my puppy selection box, which has been a big hit. So, you know, you don't know what your puppy will like, what they won't like, what to buy, especially if you're a first time dog owner. So that has been a huge hit. So that was a great seller during the lockdown.
I mean, were you in the mindset of, oh, I can see opportunity here? Or were you still like a new, brand new business owner going, oh, I don't know if I want to sell to people? Or did you just like get straight in there?
Yeah, so I don't really see it as selling. It's more helping people overcome a problem. You know, and as you know, I had a puppy at the beginning of lockdown, so I could share my experience with people. And you know, your puppy is going to be hyper and crazy. If you've got a really good chew, you can get them to go and sit on the bed and be calm. And I think it's a lot of that with puppies, is about teaching them to be calm. And I could share, you know, real life experiences with people, and I think that really helped as well.
So like being authentic has really helped you in your business, right? So actually being a dog owner, actually being a puppy owner, like actually understanding what a dog needs, right? Your community love you. Like it's well known, like they rally around you, like they love you. You know, do you feel like that definitely was something that you were strategic about? Okay, I'm going to really like sell my story. Or is it just something that's evolved naturally?
No, it's evolved naturally. I've had dogs all my life, so it's not suddenly, oh, I'm going to set up a dog treat business, let's go buy a dog. Was more, I'm dog crazy anyway, and they inspired the business. But yeah, I drive all my friends mad with stories about the dogs all day, every day. So I might as well share them on social, and you know, it's part of the brand. And yeah, people really, if you're a dog lover, you love hearing about dogs and seeing dog pictures. So yeah, it is it's a big thing, but yeah, it just shows real life for people, and I think that's what people want.
They do. Yeah, they do. Like, one of the themes that's kind of come about in the interviews I've done in this series has been when you do it because you genuinely love it, especially when it starts to get a bit more successful, like that's what gets you out of bed every day. If you kind of got into it just for pure profit's sake, it gets a little harder to find your why. Like, and your why is, you know, your dogs first and foremost, right? And then your community's dogs. And I love that. When I was like, did you do this for the money? You're like, no, I did it because I want to help people. Vicky, shut up. Like, and I think, like, do you think that, well, I think that's what's served you very well, but do you think that's what's aided your growth over the past year?
Yeah, I really do. And there's a lot of dog treat companies out there, and you know, there's no saying that. But you know, when people say to me, "Oh, so you've really got dogs?" and I'm like, "Yeah," and then we start having a discussion about what dogs I've got, what dogs they have, and I think, yeah, it really does help if you can share your life with people. You know, people do want to buy from people. I know it's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot at the moment, but it's really true. You know, and you know, you've got to be happy with what you're sharing on social media or with your customers, but you know, don't hide away from them. Be real, be yourself.
Okay, I was going to ask you about this because, like, my observation in the industry right now, because there's a lot of pet businesses in my membership, as you know, because you're a really big part of that membership. I also keep my eyes out in terms of what's hot and trending in online business. There was a lot of dog treat businesses. There's a lot of dog businesses generally. Like, there's been a boom for sure, right? Aside from the community you've already had, like, how have you managed to kind of like maintain your visibility online during this growth year, and you know, like, continue the growth that you've experienced? I mean, is it just consistency or a mix of brand, or have you had some lucky breaks in the past year? Aside from being on my podcast, obviously.
Yeah. I think it is just a bit of everything. So a lot of hard work. Yeah. Consistently posting, just trying out new things all the time, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, you know, working with you to use Facebook advertising, you know, that's been really good for me. You know, I've done some publicity, obviously a few podcasts, I've worked with some dog magazines to get some articles published, I was in my local newspaper with a story. So it's just a mix of everything. You really have, you know, got to be everywhere. I did try a few market stalls, but to be honest, I'm so busy in the week, it just really wore me out doing a market stall as well. So as much as they were good for me, it wasn't good for myself. And I think that's what you've got to remember is, you know, as much as, you know, we do have to work hard, you do have to give yourself some time off.
What's a typical day look like for you at the moment then, in terms of running your very successful dog treat business?
So get up, check my messages, make sure there's nothing urgent. If there's anything I need to order, and then get on to packing orders. So my courier collects early afternoon, so obviously that is my first job, really, packing orders. And then the afternoon, admin, paperwork, marketing,
what's the marketing look like for you? Like, what are you focusing on from a marketing POV right now?
So I tried to dabble a bit in Google, but it's quite hard work. But my Facebook advertising is really fabulous. So you can really target the people that you want to see your ads. So that's going really well for me.
Who are you targeting specifically? Like, what are your audiences?
Obviously dog people. yeah, and I've got some lookalike audiences. So, you know, people that look like my customers. So that's a really good one to target as lookalike audiences.
I mean, you do have an enviable audience to target, right? Because there's so many dog owners in the UK and so many breeds that you could target of interest groups, people who follow the Kennel Club versus people who like Waffle, the dog on CBeebies. You know what I mean? Like there's an audience like for every kind of level, people who like pugs, people like poodles, people like Pekingese, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you can start building up that audience as you have done, you can take your customer list and you can take your Facebook page likers, your Instagram page likers, and create those lookalike audiences where Facebook will find people who act and look like those people. So, I mean, it's just a matter then when people see your ads of deciding whether they're going to click on it or not. And what do you think is the, why do you think your ads have that clickability?
The ads that work best for me are the ones with real life dogs in them. So yeah, it's really about testing which pictures work. And, you know, we've done a lot of this together. You know, we bought some stock pictures, we've used cartoon pictures, and really it's the real life dogs that have worked the most.
Yeah, authenticity again and again. So I love that. So I love that you decided to choose Facebook ads. Can I ask, like, how much have you spent on ads in any one time? Is it like, you don't have to tell me the exact amount, but I think it'd be really useful for people to hear. Are you spending dozens of pounds, hundreds of pounds? Have you spent thousands? Like, at what level did, and also at what level did you start thinking, yeah, I'm going to start investing in this?
Yeah, so when I started, I was really scared and it was like £1 a day.
Yeah, I remember that. And I said to you, no one does £1 a day, but you did, and you were making sales.
Yeah. So it is a scary thing spending on advertising. But once you start seeing a return, you know, you really do see the more you put in, you know, the more you can get out. So yeah, spend probably about £200 a week at the moment. I did pull it back over the summer, but I'm getting ready to ramp it back up for the big festive period that's going to be coming soon.
The big C. Okay, so that's amazing. So when you first like got the bill for, you know, something that was in the hundreds from Facebook, how did you feel about it?
I did panic. I did go and log into my business account quick and check.
Did you think you'd been done by a fraudster or something?
Yeah, I did think, oh no, they've made a mistake. They've billed me wrong. This billing is not right.
Yeah.
But no, it was right. But then when you do see the return on sales, then right, you're like, oh, okay.
This is proper business, Phil, that you were talking about at the top of this chat, right? So, you know, a business where, you know, if you invest money into something like a particular channel, you're going to get a return back. And the difference now between you running ads that are costing you hundreds a month and getting a return versus a year ago when you were doing organic posting and getting out there, like how much more time and effort do you have available?
Yeah,
and has it just filled your day up with other things now as well?
Yeah, I think so. It is really scary at first, and you know, advertising is still an ongoing thing. You do have to check in, you know, always updating it. But once you can start seeing what works, it does become easier. But yeah, there's always something else that you can look at, something new to add to your business. So yeah, there's never a quiet time.
So you mentioned you in like investigating and trying new things in the business. So what have you been experimenting with that's been working well for you? And also tell us any experiments that haven't gone well as well.
So what hasn't gone well is I did do some newspaper articles, and they didn't really bring in that much business. So yeah, but I did some magazine articles. They brought in a few business, but then I didn't see it as a complete failure because I just used that content for a blog and obviously repurposed them into social media posts. So other than being a complete fail, some products I've bought in and they haven't sold very well, but as you know, I've got 6 dogs of my own, so there's never going to be any wasters. There's always somebody going to eat them for me. But yeah, Facebook advertising has been amazing. Been absolutely amazing.
I mean, look, let's just talk about your reels, right? Instagram reels, because...
Oh, forgot about them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, that definitely is something I can see that you're smashing at the moment. What was, what kind of drew you to giving reels a go? Because they've got this reputation of being the Instagram TikTok, right? You do a funny dance or you mime to something or, you know, you've got to do a pointy video or, you know, something like that. But like...
So there's no dancing and there's no silly pointing at things in any of my reels. as most people will know, I do hate being on camera. I really hate it. So mine are mostly of the dogs doing silly things. So it's kind of a cop out for me that I'm not really in that many of my reels. The more the dogs.
But that's what people want. They want your dogs. Right?
Yeah, they want the dogs, not me. So that's fine. But yeah, so I as much as I don't even watch football, I did do a football one the day of the World Cup final. And it was only Dodger heading a football, but it had 4,000 views in the first couple of minutes. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
You mean the Euros final, don't you?
Yes.
Because we'd love to be in the World Cup final.
Yeah,
but that's
whatever
next
final
time.
We were in. See, I don't even follow a football thing.
So, of course, like there was football fever and that's all people were talking about, right? You know, we were mad for it. So you rather than just sitting back, you were like, yeah, I'm going to join in with that and put some content out, right? No matter if it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I did. Yeah. I buckled in and used that song that everybody was singing and did a reel and it blew up. So, yeah. As much as I don't watch football, yeah, it was just a bit of fun, to be honest. So, yeah, it was really good.
15 seconds of fun. That's all it really is. Did you see any return on investment of your time doing that? Did you notice any uplift in sales?
To be honest, not really. But, you know, if people are clicking on it and liking it, they're going to get see more of my stuff in the future. So that's always good. You know, a lot of people are not going to buy from you the first time they see, you know, a silly reel. But if they
Wise
see
words.
It a second time, a third time, then yeah, you know, they could come back. It's like you say, it was 15 seconds of fun. You know, only took me a couple of minutes to record. So it wasn't a huge investment in my time, you know, a lot of video editing or anything. So that's what, you know, I have to remember it. It wasn't something that I put a huge amount of time and effort in. It was just a couple of minutes of throwing the ball to the dog and making it into a reel. So
I love this because, right, you talked earlier about the kind of the PR not necessarily bringing in a good, like, direct return on investment for you. That probably took time, photo shoots, back and forth on email, all of that stuff. But a reel... 15 seconds, got loads of eyeballs on it, especially because you timed it around like a world event, you know, something everyone was talking about at that one time. And then anyone who doesn't buy from you, you can retarget them with your Facebook ads if they engage with your Instagram profile, right? So it just seems like, you know, going all in on kind of online has just worked really, really well for you.
Yeah. So, although it wasn't immediate sales, you got to think it wasn't a lot of time that I put into it. But yeah, hopefully long term, it does work. And it has worked because my Instagram has really been growing since I started using Reels. So
talk about the grown up stuff that you've had to do in your business. Your words, not mine. over the past year. So you mentioned you've gone VAT registered. Congratulations. That is a sign of growth. That is your success tax from the government there. What kind of other things have you gone through as a VAT registered business owner that perhaps you weren't? You weren't aware of until you experienced them? Like, have you hired staff? Are you doing payroll? Have you got proper accountants? Like, what's kind of the sort of next level stuff beyond just working on your own that you've been doing?
So yeah, I've got an accountant, a lovely lady that does all of the stuff for me. So thankfully, that would be my top tip, would be to get an accountant. They're a lot more reasonable than you realise. And yeah, so she sends me a sheet at the end of the month that tells me, you know, how much tax and VAT, etc. I need to pay. And as boring as it is, if you left it till the end of the year, I don't think that I would be able to pay it. So it's definitely worthwhile to make sure that you save monthly for all the boring things in life, tax, VAT, pension, things like that, and making sure that you pay yourself well.
Are you paying yourself?
Yeah.
Have you given yourself a pay rise?
I have given myself a pay rise, yes. And I give myself a weekend off, so yeah.
I love that. Have you got anyone on the books? Have you hired anyone?
No, like, not at the moment. I treated myself to a cleaner, so she comes in, does me a bit of house cleaning, so that gives me some more time back. And I've got a casual helper, but I like to carry on doing it myself for now. But yeah, I've outsourced bookkeeping and things like that, so that really helps give me time back.
So what do you think the next stages are for you in your business in terms of growing it? Or do you not have growth ambitions? Like, what's going on with Friends in Canine in, say, like the next year versus the next 5 years?
So we've got big plans for Christmas. I have just put in production my own advent calendars, so they'll be just for us. So they've got my branding and they'll have my products in. So that's very exciting for me. I'm really excited to get them going this Christmas, and hopefully that will bring in new customers that might not have seen me before. So I'm looking for them to come back next year as repeat customers. And yeah, onwards and upwards. I still work from home, but I think we might be outgrowing in the next year. So we may have to move into a warehouse. So
get proper premises. How will the dogs feel about that, not having you at home? Will you have to take them with you, do you think?
Yes. That's why I'm fighting leaving. So maybe we'll just have to get a bigger house instead.
An extension or a bigger shed in the back garden, right?
Yeah. So I did get a shed earlier this year.
Okay. So that's part of the growth as well, right? To just store more products there. So how much of your house is taken up with product at the moment?
Three rooms in the house, and then the giant metal shed that we had built in the garden earlier this year. So yeah. We have got room for another shed yet, though, so we could expand further outside, maybe.
Right. So that's hilarious. I love that. But, you know, why not? Just see what you can do at home before you, like, really have to expand out. But at some point, right, when this is a big outfit, right, when forklifts need to come and pick up the items on a day-to-day basis, you know, and your courier guy is back has been done in from picking all of your orders up, you know, that's the next step. Like, do you know how you're going to get to that next step of, you know, getting premises and, you know, going through that kind of, maybe even like having to get an office manager or premises manager, and, you know, like, you know, the kind of things that perhaps we don't think about at all when we're businesses that work at home, right?
No, it's a very, very scary step, that'll be. So we shall see.
But the thing about you, Sarah, right, is that you've always surrounded yourself with people who can give you the right advice. Like, I mean, that's why it's been so awesome having you in the Supercharger website membership, because you've been able to get that sort of sales and marketing support. But, like, you just need to find someone who's perhaps a few steps ahead of you in terms of, like, getting premises, maybe for other products or whatever, and, like, learn from them and get ready. That's exactly what my husband did to get his workshop for his event production company. He just hung out with people who already had workshops. And then they were like, yeah, it's just really easy. You go and talk to a guy who runs a farm. And it's always guys who run farms, right? And they've always got these amazing premises. So I don't know, but what else is kind of coming up for you on the cards then in terms of business growth? So if it's like potentially new premises or just kind of finding new places to go, you know, looking to kind of grow your product base, your customer base next year with new products, like are you gonna diversify, maybe go with cat treats as well as dog treats, or, you know, try something different?
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure where else we can go. Maybe I'm going to introduce some, you know, dog shampoos and things like that, just other accessories that maybe work in the dog world. So that might be my next expansion. Maybe get some extra in for Christmas.
Do you want to take over the world? Are you quite happy getting, because, you know, Paul Graham, who's like the company of one author, right? He talks about like our obsession in the world of like growing businesses on steroids until they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But actually, like, just being a single staffed business owner, the company of one, is actually a really lovely thing. And earning enough to just have a nice life is a really lovely thing as well. Is that something you resonate with?
Yeah, to be honest, at the moment, I'm really, really happy. So, you know, this morning, booking a call with you, I haven't got to check in with what anybody else is doing. Yesterday, I want to go out for the afternoon. I can just go out. I haven't got to check in with anybody else. And yeah, I'm making enough money to enjoy myself, give myself time off, do what I want. And it's just a really nice place to be. So yeah, I do want a little bit of growth, but I am a little bit hesitant of how big I want it to be, that it'll get too stressful. Yeah. So the main reason that I set up my business was, you know, to make my life better. And at the moment, it's the best it's ever been. So I don't know if I want to make myself too stressed with extra staff. That is why I'm hesitating a little bit. You know, I used to manage people, and just the stress of, you know, managing other people on a full-time basis is maybe a step too far.
Interesting. I mean, like, to be fair, right, at some point you might find someone who's so amazing that they could take over from you, because you're in control of the hiring process. In our jobs, in our old corporate jobs or whatever, when we're managing people, we never got quite often a chance to be to input on the people that got hired, and so we're managing people we never would normally work with. But you do have like that control. But that said, like, if you're really happy, I think that's just amazing, like self-awareness of just knowing when you're content and when things are like working out really well. And going back to your original why of why you're doing this, if you were still be working 60-hour weeks, growing the business out of 10 massive warehouses or whatever, who's going to look after your dogs? Who's going to hang out and do two gorgeous walks a day with that motley crew, right? And that's kind of why you started up this business.
Yeah, and that's why I still want to be at home, that it's just so nice being at home with them. If I did have to go out to a warehouse every day, I might as well go back to my old corporate career, really. So it's so nice being at home. And as much as people say you never switch off, I have separated out the rooms, and I just love being at home.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the next question I was going to ask is, like, how, you know, since the growth has happened, and you're at home, how are you maintaining a work-life balance? I mean, you talked really clearly about having your weekends off. And I remember in the last episode, you said, like, that was a non-negotiable for you. Like, you really needed to switch off at the weekends. You said you might check quickly in on messages, but that's probably the extent of it, right?
Yeah. So I think the thing is, saying, okay, I want every weekend off. Actually, sometimes I do work on a weekend, but then I give myself time off in the week. So instead of pressuring myself that I'm only working certain hours, I like it that it's more flexible working. So if I want to take an afternoon off, I will. If I want to work on an evening, then I will, because it's my choice. And I think that's the thing. Instead of pressuring myself, I'm only working 9 to 5 or whatever, I can work when I want and what suits my life. So
Did you, like, when you started making that decision in your business, did you ever feel guilty? Like, oh, what if customers are emailing me on this afternoon and I don't get back to them? Like, how have you told yourself it's okay to do that? Because I think people listening would love to love that advice.
I think the thing is, you've just really got to be kind to yourself. So yeah, if you don't reply to somebody straight away, you know, in this day and age, people do want an instant response, but just be honest and genuine with people. You know, you can always put an out of office on, just saying, I'm sorry, I'm out of office this afternoon. I will reply in the next 24 hours. You know, as long as I think honest and open with people, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Then, you know, generally my customers have been fine with that.
So it's definitely a level of like training people into how you want to be dealt with as well. And it's, you know, setting those boundaries, because if you don't set those boundaries, they won't know. People will expect an instant response because they're getting it from Amazon, right? And that authenticity really helps, I guess, because they know that a real person with six dogs, she's probably out walking your dog, her own dogs, but just because she's doing that, it means she understands your customer. So like on lots of levels, you're kind of allowing that to happen in your business, and I love that. So Christmas is coming up. It's going to be a big event for you this year. How early on did you start thinking about Christmas this year? Because you've just talked about having like your calendars printed. When did that start?
I think I started driving you all mad in the membership with it back in January.
So, in the planning.
As soon as Christmas is finished, I thought, right, what do I want to do for next year? So I started looking for suppliers in January of who'd done well last Christmas, what products I'd seen around that I thought that I'd like. In January, I started looking for suppliers. It was June or July. I commissioned an artist to draw my winter scene, and yeah, that went into print to the publishers last month. So you really do need to start thinking about Christmas in summer. Yeah.
And when will you start promoting?
October.
Right, classic, yeah. And do you feel like this year people are more wary about delivery dates and things like that because of COVID and Brexit and everything?
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully people are going to be more organised this year, but there's always going to be them last minute people. But definitely from my point of view for advertising and that, you really do need to start planning now. If you haven't started planning, plan now. Always give yourself more time than you think. So you've got to work backwards. So, you know, what date do you want your product to be on sale for? You've got to work backwards about getting your stock in, and then before that, advertising them. So,
I mean, I love that. It's like, I just love that because that's our ethos in the membership. And the fact that you're doing it and living it is just brilliant. And just generally, like, congratulations on the past year. It's just been really interesting to hear like how business has been going for you and to come back and share that on the podcast. So thank you, Sarah. Do you want to let everyone know how they can find you online, please?
So you can go directly to my website, which is friendsandcanines.co.uk, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Friends and Canines.
Perfect. Good luck with the next year of not quite taking the world over, but like continuing to have like probably a bigger shed at home, and you'll probably sneak one more dog in, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, we have no plans at the moment for another dog, but yes, maybe another shed. But yeah, just really happy with how things are going at the moment, so it's fantastic, and thank you for all your support.
It's a pleasure. It is an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Thanks, Sarah. Hey, welcome to the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sarah from Friends and Canines Dog Treats as much as I enjoyed recording it with her. If you want to find out more about Sarah or even buy some dog treats for your pooch, then visit friendsandcanines.co.uk. Make sure you bookmark and subscribe to Sarah's services. She is a pretty awesome lady, and I was delighted to be able to kick off this new series of the podcast by talking with her. We have got some cracking episodes coming up in this Behind the Business series, which will be, there's 10 episodes in total, and they will be dropped throughout November. So the best way to be notified about when a new episode is released is by subscribing. By subscribing. So if you're just listening and you're not subscribed, then go and do that. And of course, if you want to earn extra Vicky Jakes points, then do go and leave us a review over on iTunes as well. I can't wait to share some of the episodes that we've got coming up. Sarah is and has been a part of the Supercharger website membership. My Learn How to Build a Website and Drive Traffic to It membership for over 2 years. And good news is, if you have always wanted to join the membership, then we are opening it up for enrollment in November. All you need to do is visit superchargeyourwebsite.com to find out more about joining us. You can always find me on the Instagrams and Facebook and DM for more questions if you want to. So thank you very much, end of the episode crew. I really appreciate and love you, and can't wait to share more of this series very soon. Bye.